The Animals at Lockwood Manor by Jane Healy, read by Sarah Lambie. Prologue. Large houses are difficult to keep an eye on, to control, my mother used to tell me, looking fraught and harried, before bustling out of the room to find the housekeeper or the butler or the tweeny maid to demand a full reckoning of what was happening in the far corners of the house. Lockwood Manor had 4 floors, 6 sets of stairs, and 92 rooms, and she wanted to know what was happening in each of them at all times. It was the not knowing that seemed to concern her most. But she had a long list of specific fears, too. Mold that squatted behind large pieces of furniture. Rotten window frames that let in an unwholesome breeze. Mice that had gnawed a home in a sofa. Loose floorboards whose nails had pricked their way free in the heat or the cold. Wires that sparked and spat. Birds that had nested in a wardrobe in some forgotten servant's room, scratching the walls with their claws. Damp that had bled through a gap in the roof tiling. A carpet that was being feasted upon by hungry moths. Pipes that rattled their way to bursting. And a silt flood that slithered ever closer to the basement. For my grandmother, who had grown up in the time when every task had a servant assigned to it, when calling for tea necessitated the manoeuvring of a veritable regiment, it was the servants she suspected. They were lazy, slapdash in their work, prone to stealing. They spent their time idling and daydreaming and making mischief. She wore a vast selection of pale gloves, neatly pressed by her own personal maid, ever ready to sweep a pointed finger along a mantelpiece or a shelf. And if she found the merest whisper of dust, she would summon the housekeeper. Because my grandmother was also of an age where the lady of the house did not deign to speak to any servants but the housekeeper, the poor woman was forever being called away from her tasks to rush through the back corridors of the house and appear in front of Lady Lockwood as if from the ether. There was thus relief felt amongst the servants when my mother and grandmother died a few months back in a single awful motor car accident. And I did not begrudge them it. I knew what harsh taskmasters these two women had been, and besides, I had seen the servants weep dearly at their funeral, so I knew they also cared. I swore that I would not share my relative's habit of making impossible demands on the servants. And yet, my mother and grandmother's role, that of keeping an eye on the house, that of keeping it in mind, was one that I reluctantly took on my own shoulders. Like the fur coats I was also left, scratchy, heavy things that bristled with the claws and teeth of the beasts that had been skinned to make them and swamped my form completely. Ever since I was a young child, I had suffered from attacks of nerves and a wild imagination that made sleep hard to come by. It was my favourite governess, the one who used to sing lullabies to me when I was a few years too old for them, who taught me a way of tricking my mind into sleep. I should picture myself walking through Lockwood Manor, she said, gliding through the rooms one by one and count them as if I was counting sheep. And before I could finish even one floor, I would be asleep. It was a method that worked just as she said, although it did not succeed in removing the monstrous nightmares I suffered once I had fallen asleep. Dreams of a beast hunting me. And sometimes of a desperate search through the corridors of my home for a blue room in which I knew some horrible creature was trapped and scratching at the walls. A search which baffled me when I woke up, knowing that there was no such room at Lockwood. But after my mother and grandmother passed away, it no longer felt like a simple counting game, a trick to help my mind ease into sleep. It took on a new and frantic urgency. I could not sleep until my mind had completed a full tour of the house, and if I made a mistake, if I forgot the buttery or the bathroom on the second floor with its sink ripped out, or the housekeeper's bedroom with the narrow eaves, then everything was ruined, and I was compelled to start again from the very beginning, my heart rabbiting in my chest, my back prickling with sweat. Sometimes, though it was mad to think so, I felt that if I did not concentrate, if I did not count all the rooms and hold them all in my mind, everything that my mother had feared would occur, and more.